Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Yo! Oh my God!
Yo,
woo,
whoa,
cuckoo,
woo, goo, woo,
caca,
woo, woo.
I can't do multiple animals. I'm just doing my bird.
Just doing different bird-like sounds.
A howl with phlegm in his throat. Woo.
Hey, what does it, what the fuck's in my throat? Woo.
Hello.
What's up?
We're the most serious MMA podcast in the fucking world, you
hell
bitches.
Fucking yeah.
Hell
you
yeah.
Want serious analysis? You come here.
Shit. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Yo MMA Rap, presented by YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. I'm the Puerto Rican Rattlesnake. I'm looking good. Am I not looking good? Am I not looking good?
All right.
He's Dave Smith. He's Dave Smith. He's a dad. He's a Republican. But you know who he is. But am I not looking good?
I mean, I think I'm... all of those things and better looking than
look
you.
Look at my cheekbones. Are you, you think you're better looking than me?
Me and most people, yes.
A lot of people do think that, but as you're getting older and becoming more of a dad, I feel like that's becoming less true. I also keep on fluctuating in weight, so I think now I look so much better. I think
that's true. I never, when I was thinking about whether I'm better looking, you're better looking, I never considered that you're often fat.
I am often fat. So when I'm on the upswing, which I'm on an upswing now.
Oh, okay. You're on an upswing.
The ladies are going to be coming. Look at these cheek- right, look at these cheekbones.
You always pick out weird features about yourself and then yes. Tell me how great they are.
Look at my eyelashes.
All right.
Look at these lashes.
Are they good? Do you have good eyelashes?
Look at my lobes. Hello. Hello.
All right. You know what? Maybe you got me, buddy. I don't
doggy,
know.
Doggy, no, I'm feeling good about myself. I'm doing yoga right now. I'm doing jujitsu. I've been running every day. Natalie, you're a lesbian.
Doing a lot of cocaine.
I have not done any cocaine in a long time.
All right. But that's what you say when you're doing cocaine.
I would also say that if I was doing cocaine. But I swear to God, this. Did you see that I found cocaine in my...
I did see that, and man, it made me laugh so hard that they responded to you.
Oh, dude, they freaked out.
It's so funny when you get fucking company's attention. Because yeah. Lewis always doubles down after you get the company's attention. Then it always becomes something about like your father's heart medicine or something that you gotta get to him.
I was picking up my son from school, and I had this illegal narcotic. I deleted the photo from social media. Damn it, Natalie.
That was probably a good call, though.
Sorry, what?
Why would there was a photo on social media that I posted, but I almost feel like, you know what, I'm gonna send it to you right now, Natalie. Is it better to email it to you?
Or yes.
Is it better to
email would be perfect.
Okay, hold on one second. I'm gonna email it to you right now. Hold on, Natalie. I got this. Give me one second. Natalie is your name and your email address is something else. What? Here we go. I'm going to reply all to Natalie, to Vic. This is really
probably
interesting.
Probably don't need
podcast.
To walk us through.
No,
all
it's good.
This is really compelling.
Shut the fuck up, Vic.
Podcasting.
You know what, dude? This is the difference between me and other people. Most other people wouldn't do the yada, yada, yadas as they're looking through their email for a photo. Okay.
You only get that stuff here.
Yeah.
You better watch your tone there, by the way.
Just
because I was holding back earlier. You got a shiny head right now.
What's your problem?
That's all I see is a shiny head.
What's your problem with my head?
You came at me a little hard. I'm a little like, you know, you're trying to be a tough guy.
You're being very sensitive today, Vic. I noticed this earlier today. You texted me about something. What did I do about producer shit?
No, we're fine. I was messing with you and I still love you. You're all right now, but. Yeah, I get it. It's part of the image. You're trying to go out there. You're presenting this tough guy, debonair guy. Look.
All right, guys. All of your arguing is taking away from our excellent podcasting. Just putting in my PIN code, hitting the email icon,
and 78% uploaded, 79, 84, back down to 78.
Do you want me to pull up this photo or just look at it?
No, Natalie, I want you to, really, do you think I'd be wasting this much time on the show so you could see a photo?
I thought maybe you were sending
women,
me a hot
women
girl you saw
are
or something.
Dumb. Because that right there proves that women should not be main events anymore in the UFC either. I'll tell you right now.
That and the last couple fights.
Yeah. So I know it was a good fight. It wasn't a bad fight. I liked it. Split decision. You see split decision female. You're like, I'm not going to watch that, but it was good. I'm glad I did. Natalie, I sent you the photo. You could pull it up. I rented a car. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
BMW 7 Series.
Hell yeah.
Not a big deal.
There you go. Okay.
And because my car's in the shop, Aruski. And
cars in the shop a lot.
Shopaholic.
Did you post this? I may have seen it already.
I did post this to social media initially, but they bribed me. I won't say the name of the car dealership.
But they bribed you with more cocaine.
They got to. But they were like, listen, you can keep that cocaine if you don't say shit about it. This was in the little sunglasses case on the side, the left-hand side in the sunglasses case. I go to open it up to put my sunglasses in it. And lo and behold, a little cocaine baggie. And the joy that my heart felt when I, like, it's like, you know, when you find $20 in your jeans before you put them in the laundry, it was like, oh my God, free cocaine, yes. And then I remembered as I was shoving it into my nose that I no longer do cocaine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had to stop myself.
Okay. And instead you had to tweet the picture.
I did tweet the picture and I shamed the car dealership.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They give you anything?
Yeah, they gave me, so they're not making me pay for my portion of this rental. And this could be, who knows how long my Audi's going to be in the shop. So this could be,
so Audi pays for part of it?
No, the insurance pays for part of
it. Right, okay.
Yeah, so Dave does not drive.
No, well, so I
guess what, the city pays for it.
Well, I didn't know if you lease the car. Sometimes they have deals where if you lease the car, oh, like yeah, if there's a problem, they fucking.
That is true. They pay for it. All right, fucking Moneybags, fucking Smith over here. Maybe he's just leasing a car. Who knows? So yeah, I found that cocaine. And you know what I did?
What did you do?
I called the cops.
Wow.
Did you really?
I did. Because I didn't know.
You called the cops on the car?
I was like,
arrest this car.
Help me, officer. Well, here's the thing. I was picking up my son from school. And more than anything else, I was kind of interested in seeing what they were going to say. And then also, I was like, if I don't call the cops, maybe I won't be able to get this car for free. So I should figure out what to do. And then the cop, he started just cracking up laughing. He was like, that's hilarious. He was like, I was like, you want to
you weren't a little bit nervous, like, just that you're like, I am kind of calling them that I'm in possession.
What are you going to triangulate my fucking...
No, I mean, but it's just...
Cell phone? They're going to ping the towers, Dave? It ain't happening. They ain't finding me. Come find me, coppers.
Oh. So you didn't call them and, like, turn it in. You just called them to inform them.
That I was about to do some fucking wild blow.
I am in possession of drugs.
I was in possession of drugs.
I am somewhere.
No, I wanted to see what the protocol was when you find illicit drugs.
He's like, and, yeah, come bring it into the station. if you find any hookers out there, bring them in too.
Doggy, no, so he was like, well, he was like, the protocol is you'd call 911. It's like, and the cops would come pick it up from you. There was like, or.
Then do they get to take a picture of four cops around that little bag of cocaine? We got this off the streets today, boys.
Well, then he was like, or it could just disappear and you could hang up the phone. And I was like, really? I was like, you tell me to keep it? He was like, no. I was like, you tell me to throw it away? He was like, definitely not. He was like, I'm telling you to call 911, but you know, do what you got to do. It was just a very real moment with a cop. And I was like, all right, fuck this. Then I just threw it in the garbage. And then, yeah, I tweeted out the picture and then I felt bad because I didn't want to get somebody fired.
Yeah. That's
Vic,
true.
I bet you Vic. See, Vic's like fucking Karen. Vic would have gotten this guy fired in a heartbeat. The first thing he would do, he would call the supervisor. He would have been talking shit. It's like a very, very corporate Vic Mysterio.
No, I wouldn't. I would have said something because I was thinking James is in the car. So if it was my son, the first thing I'd be like, oh man, James going to get all this stuff.
What?
But other than that, I wouldn't try to get somebody fired.
See, I wouldn't even think so much about, I guess James is like young enough that my thought of that would have been like, fucking yo, you got me fucking driving around with drugs in a car
yeah.
that I'm unaware of.
Well, like, that's why I was freaking out. Yeah,
I'm looking for my fucking license or whatever, and there's a fucking bag of cocaine there. I could be.
That's my spending the night in with jail my son. Even just forget that, dude. Forget the night in jail, right? With my son. Here's my concern. He has this memory, and I go, I swear, officer, I have no idea. For the rest of his life, he's going, oh yeah, my dad had coke, and he swears it wasn't his. There's no way he buys it.
It was who would buy that?
No.
I mean, like, if you, once you get
50-50 shot, it was my cocaine, Dave.
You wouldn't even buy it. You'd be like, I'm hearing these words come out of my mouth. Sounds like bullshit.
Was it my cocaine? I don't remember whether or not it was my cocaine.
I do love cocaine.
Wait a minute.
I haven't done cocaine in years, but that's what I say when I'm doing cocaine.
By the way, so for the
record, to believe your own lies. It's a web of mystery to me at this point. I have no idea what happened.
Worse than believing your own lies is not believing your own truths. Just saying.
Oh my God. And the racist live chat, that is fucking hilarious. Can you pull it up, Natalie? Do you have the live chat open? Always have it open.
I'll pull it up.
Yeah, somebody put a little tag on the bag of cocaine, which is hilarious.
By the way, to point this out, I find a bag of cocaine, I'm worried about the child. Dave gets a bag of cocaine, he's worried about getting arrested. Lewis gets a bag of cocaine, he wants to know how he can screw the dealership out of a free rental.
Quigley. Yeah, you can't even do any more
random cocaine. Come on, she's paid her price.
I was going to see if it was real, I was going to test it. And then I dipped my finger into it, and I was like, wait a minute, this is how you die of a fentanyl overdose if there's fentanyl in this bag. You can't even gum a little bit of it. I think if you gum fentanyl, you're fucked, right?
I really don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, Natalie, we were talking before. Who's better looking from a lesbian perspective, me or Dave?
Oh, that's...
You both have attractive to lesbian qualities.
Ooh.
I would say that you both have some... You both look like the women fighters that you've made me pull up before.
That's fair. I mean, I could be... I shave and I am a lesbian. Yeah. So I'm in that game.
I think that... to a lesbian, who would be more attractive, me or you, Dave? That's a very interesting question.
Hmm. I really don't know.
I feel like
that throws a weird twist on
as
it.
A thick Latino.
Yeah, you might have me beating that demo.
I feel like this is my body type is a specific type of lesbian that exists.
Yeah, for
like
sure.
Stocky bull type, fucking like, yo, what's up? That's my girl. Like a lesbian that will try to fight dudes for her girl. That is my type of lesbian, and I think that's Natalie could get into that, right?
Yeah, I see that for you.
Exactly. Thank you. Who's the fucking new guy in the booth? He's making me sick. His face is making me furious right now.
I was the guy that brown nosed at the meeting earlier. I was like the show, and I was like, I sound like I would ask the teacher if they remembered if there was homework.
What did he have? He has a voice like John Travolta, kind of, right?
Oh yeah, a little
Travolta-y. What's your name again, dude?
Coop. Call me Coop.
Oh, that was a John Travolta answer, Coop. Wasn't it? Like, hey, a young Travolta?
Hey, my name's Coop.
I'm Coop. I'm just trying Coop. To fit in around here.
It's making
here.
Me furious. I don't like it.
I like Coop.
I feel like he has infiltrated Gas Digital. His name's not really Coop. He thinks he's got to have a funky nickname.
To be fair, you guys said that about me when I started working here.
Yeah, I'm not positive. To be fair,
we haven't ruled that out.
You fucking crazy, woke psychopath.
Sounds like feds.
Every day I test Natalie and I take it further and further and further to the point where I've touched her and she still's like, no, I'm cool with it. That's how I know she's a fucking narc. Because if you weren't a narc, you would have fucking broken already.
No one's cool with it.
What do I have to do to you to make you break, Natalie?
This is getting uncomfortable.
Right. Well, welcome.
This actually leads to the poll question.
What's the poll question? Should Natalie take MMA lessons? Yes, to fight off Lewis. No, she should not fight. 83.7%. That's the final vote, too. 83.7% says yes to fight off Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to be around here, it's not a bad idea to know how to defend yourself.
Natalie, would you ever take MMA classes?
Not for content. Can I say that? I think that if not in this context, I would be like, yeah, I'd be interested. I'd probably be pretty bad at it.
Natalie, you'll be a good producer once you realize that everything is content.
I know. That's why I'm saying no.
She's sitting here.
Because I know what Paco's going to do if I try to take MMA lessons.
She lives in a world.
With a camera up my ass.
She lives. A camera up your ass is a different show. Okay.
That's fine with me. It's just not the fighting part.
All of life is content. Sometimes it's just not recorded. Welcome to your first lesson at Gas Digital.
Oh, last night I dreamed some content. You should have seen it. It was just for me.
Let me check the downloads on that. One.
Look at these numbers. They're shit, but it was a great content.
There you go.
Natalie.
Yes.
Have you ever been into a fight or a physical altercation?
No. Not like a real fight, but I will say that one time in middle school, I stabbed a girl with a fork.
You stabbed a girl that you did not like. It wasn't based off like...
In a verbal fight.
Like she was thick and you're like, put a fork in it, baby. So I assume lesbians get along, like jail.
We had a verbal fight and I was like, I'm going to stab you with this plastic fork. And she was like, no, you won't.
Oh, it was a plastic fork?
I drew blood.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Did you get in trouble for this?
No, I like apologized immediately and she didn't tell anyone on me. That's how fucking...
Wait, how old were you?
11.
11, yeah.
Stab with a plastic fork. All right.
That's actually more violent than I've ever been in my entire life. That's
wild. I was more violent when I was 11 than I've been since.
Also, the plastics back 15, 16 years ago when you were 11 were...
It's in her bloodstream now.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, that girl's actually, dead. Yeah, that girl's like, been dead for quite a while.
It's not okay, dude. They recalled those plastic forks years and years and years ago. That's the most violent you've ever... What about you, Coop? Let's see if Coop's got some stories.
I had some brief dust-ups, mostly like... Stuff that it's not really hey, nothing too physical.
Hey, nothing too crazy. I'm Coop. Oh, you make me furious, Coop. Your voice stinks. We have the goofiest voices in production in Natalie and Coop.
Yeah, the two of us are quite a combo.
I was like, oh, hey, I'm Natalie. Oh, hey, I'm Coop. Oh, hey. Fucking sound like fucking puppets. Can we voice your own puppet show? Jesus Christ. I'm going to make them introduce some of these news stories because their voices stink so much. Look, guys, it was a slow news week. Female main event. It's infuriating. I feel like the UFC...
Come on, man. Let's break it down.
First of all, it was a great fight.
I'm curious to get your thoughts.
Did you even watch it? Dave, did you watch it? Watch the main event?
For the sake...
We agreed to main event and co-main event, even when we're not interested in the cards.
Yeah, I'm not saying I didn't watch it. Obviously, I watched the fight. But like, if you were explaining it to someone who hadn't seen any of it, what'd you say? Think about the fight.
You did not watch it.
I just want to know your thoughts.
You didn't even watch the Weasel breakdown?
Listen...
You watched the Weasel breakdown.
I watched everything. I watched the full fight. I'm just saying that some people listening to the show probably haven't seen it. So why don't you give them your thoughts and really paint a picture for those people who didn't watch it at all?
Shout out to the Weasel.
Shout out to
the Weasel, who is great, who really does make it so we don't have to watch fights.
Yeah, I probably should have watched the breakdown. Anyway.
You really didn't watch the breakdown?
Lewis, what are your thoughts on the fight? Dave. Who do you think won? Holly Holm seems to be upset. She felt like she won the contest. But then on the other hand... Ketlin Vieira, she's obviously feeling like she did enough to win.
Okay.
So what do you think, Evan? Judges, you know?
I want to hear a breakdown of somebody who didn't watch the fight. Can you give me a full breakdown of this fight?
Well, look, as we all know, in MMA, you try not to leave it in the hands of the judges.
This is why I'm sidestepping, because I also did not watch the fight.
No, I watched it.
Like, you can't leave it in the hands of the judges in this game. Yeah. And when you do that, and if it's a close fight, and you're looking at a split decision, you got to say it could go any way. Now... one of these fights where it's like, what do you score more? Who's moving forward? Who's dominating in the clinch position more? Who's landing more effective strikes? It's very hard to
this
say.
This actually legitimately, by the way, legitimately a good breakdown of what happened.
I completely understand.
That was the crux of the split decision.
Course. Look, if you're in Holly Holm's camp, I understand. You're feeling like you got robbed. But at the same time, you know, if you're over in Ketlin's camp, you're like, you know, I think we did enough.
You already said that.
I think we did enough.
You already said that.
Did I mention that already?
Yeah, you did. That was actually the crux of it, right? Was
exactly. And breakdown.
Here's what you can take from this, okay? So it really came down to the third round, which was...
It all came down to the third.
The split decision, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in that round, Holly was dominating the clinch. Holly landed more shots. Ketlin Vieira landed harder shots and did more damage in that round. But it's like, you know, with the old school way of thinking, the way that I've sort of always judged MMA... has been like effective striking, grappling, octagon control. That was sort of the criteria, right? What effective striking, to me, it was really up for interpretation what effective striking was, right? Effective striking could mean you're actually landing more. Volume striker, right, is landing more. The guy who lands 15, you know, shots and is kind of lighting him up a little bit versus the guy who lands one big bomb that cuts somebody open. I felt like that was sort of what was up for interpretation, right? And very often you have a lot of judges who see it very, very differently. What it seems to be, they are really sort of digging their heels in on effective striking meaning damage, right? We've seen these decisions in recent history, and I like that. I like that it seems to be more clear criteria. And I look, Holly landed more. She was clinching the fuck out of her, you know, throughout the whole fight. That was the big thing. But Ketlin Vieira was landing those big, nasty fucking shots, dude. And when you're landing really effective shots that you're hurting your opponent and your opponent's really not hurting you at all, I just look at, like, let's go back to the fucking middle school rules. Like, that her face looks more fucked up than her face and it's a really close fight. Well, then she won. Her face is more fucked up. She damaged her more. And I feel like it's only been in recent history, in the past few years, that has, because I remember back in the day, so many fights where the person who wore more damage still ends up winning the fight in close fights. And I feel like we're sort of moving away from that. And I feel like judging is getting a little bit better right now.
Yeah, I also, to me personally, I also feel like The damage criteria is like, I kind of look at like whether the person's getting hurt or not, like whether it seems like they're hurt, like not just how they look or whatever, but like if someone's like,
well, yeah, you're right. More some strikes, people do wear
if,
damage.
Yeah.
More.
Like if someone's landing a lot of strikes, but it has no effect on the guy and he's still moving forward. You know what I mean? Like it was like, it reminds me of, like, I don't even know exactly what the numbers would be, but if you remember when Dustin Poirier fought Max Holloway, the most recent time, up at 155 pounds. Mm-hmm. I mean, Max Holloway landed a lot of shots in that fight. I mean, Max Holloway is like an unbelievably good technical boxer, volume striker. He was landing a lot on Dustin Poirier. But when, like, I'm not even sure the numbers of that fight. He might have beat him on the numbers. But when Dustin Poirier hit Max Holloway, it was like just like visibly hurting him. Like Max Holloway was pressuring him, and then he'd eat like a big right hand, and he'd be like fucking
right.
Like a right hooker. Dustin Poirier's a lefty, I think, right? And he'd eat a big shot and be and like retreat all the way back to a guard. Like he didn't want to take more of those. And to me, that just goes, if both guys are landing a lot of volume, but one of them is like affected by yeah. one of the shots, you're like, okay, I got to give him a lot more credit for that. Again, though, a lot of these things are like very kind of debatable about how yeah. exactly you think who wins a fight.
This is Max Holloway of I don't know how to read.
So, guys. Okay. So of total strikes, Max Holloway. Yeah. Max Holloway outlanded him. Right.
Is that Cue Pulp? I actually would be more interested in seeing the Holly Holm and Caitlin Vieira breakdown of who outlanded more. I believe Holly landed more, just more light shots throughout the fight. And you sort of like consider, this is actually what Weasel broke down in a really great way. He's like, octagon control isn't even considered unless it's equal striking. Unless like okay. equal strike, like they're looking at octagon control as like the last criteria. It's not like octagon control, you know, her walking her down or her taking the clinch is they don't, that's not considered as like,
but that's different than takedowns and stuff, which would be considered effective grappling.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
So like if you're talking about just walking someone down, I mean, I guess clinching is debatable which one of those two it would fall into.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Holm connected 183 out of 295 strikes, and Vieira 104 out of 178.
Yeah, that's so substantially more strikes.
Substantially more. Substantially yeah. more strikes. And you look at that, and it's very easy to see it. Here's the thing. It's not like Vieira was playing the MMA game, which I think this is why judging has also gotten better. I feel like people have been able to play the MMA game a little bit
less.
Has
judging really gotten better?
I feel like it's gotten a little bit better. I feel like just in the past, the past couple years, I feel like there's been a couple robberies. It's happened. You know, but I feel like the criteria has become a little bit more clear, and I think we're just getting better judging overall. But
I don't know. I think it used to be, for me, I think MMA used to be easier to judge. Like, I think in the Matt Hughes, Chuck Liddell kind of like era of MMA, it was just easier to say who won. Like, it was never hard to judge a Matt Hughes fight.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Matt Serra is a good example of where he won, which I thought he lost, but there are a couple. But in general, back in his day, if he took the guy down and controlled him the whole time, like Matt Hughes won the fight, and if he couldn't take the guy down, he lost the fight. And it was just like kind of easy to see. Whereas now, people have gotten so much better that it used to be like very common, like when you'd watch MMA, it'd be like if a guy landed a takedown, you were like, oh, he just won the round. Like, he got that guy down.
Right. Oh, yeah.
That guy's not getting back up. It was until Chuck Liddell and, like, later on that guys really started getting back up to their feet. And then all of a sudden you land a takedown, they're back on their feet.
Well, then it was
seconds.
Also for a while, for a few years there, up until very recently. This is why I think judging's gotten a little bit better, is that takedown would very often steal a round from a guy who was being lit up on the feet. Right? Let's say a guy got really lit up, got hurt on his feet, but in the first minute. Then minute two, he gets taken down, and then the guy on top lays and prays. Very often, that guy on top would get the round.
Oh, back
and
in
I
the
feel
day,
like not now. Now if he didn't do anything, either he would be stood up, or they wouldn't give that guy the round. They would give the guy the round who landed more damage. And I just feel like that little criteria being a little bit more clear has made judging better.
I think what's made the sport harder to judge is that now you just have a lot more fights where there were like It's not like, oh, this guy, you know, it used to be like you'd see a lot like, okay, the striker was winning the first minute, then the wrestler got him down, he was on top for 4 minutes. So they give it to the wrestler, you know? Whereas now, the striker's winning the fight for the first minute, then the wrestler gets him down, has him down for 30 seconds, he gets back up, he lands one more takedown, holds him down for a minute, he gets back up, there's a few exchanges, there's this and that. It's just like a tougher thing.
It's very rare that somebody is even being taken down and laid in parade anymore. And it's not even because the guy in the offensive position has gotten better or whatever. It's the guys on bottom understand how to get up now.
It's been made into a science.
Yeah, exactly. Get your back to the fence, walk up the fence, get back to your feet. This is just, it's a part of MMA drilling. Like you don't even do MMA if you're not working on getting back to your feet back.
It's crazy because it's like Chuck Liddell was like the first guy to really do this and everyone used to be blown away by it.
Yeah.
It was like, he just gets back up.
He uses wrestling to strike.
Yeah, like it was insane. Like people were like, but specifically, not the stuff takedowns that had been done for a while, but the like getting taken down and then just getting back up, everyone was like, he just stands up, this is insane. And then for a while he was like the only guy who really did that, and then everyone started studying and then people like Bisping was a good example.
Bisping's became
like
an expert, the best.
He became an expert at
like getting back to his feet.
Hey, this guy has 50 different ways to get back up if you're on top of him.
Yeah.
And then everyone started getting.
A lot of people say he got back to his feet after I left the podcast. He
got right back to his feet. A lot of people say he was never even down.
Back against the cage. High five Anthony Smith. He got his own Smith. We're all good. We both got Smiths. I got the better Smith, doggy.
Hell yeah, you got the better Smith. I mean, not better at getting getting taken down.
Not better at anything technically in life.
Technically, probably not.
Is there anything you could do better than Anthony Smith?
Stand up, talk about comedy, libertarianism. Yeah.
Definitely talk about freedom. That's it.
I don't know. Is he a good dad? I'm a pretty good dad.
I think he's probably a pretty good dad.
He seems like a good dad. He's a good dad.
Really, I met him. He's a good fucking dude.
And their kids charming. Get to like, and your kids get to know my dad could like kick anyone's ass.
They only got Anthony Smith jeans, not Dave Smith jeans. Your fucking Nebuchadnezzar Jew jeans.
Oh, I got no
Jew dweens.
No problem with jeans. Got some Banana Republic.
Your jeans stink. He's got a big. I will say. You know what? Debatably, you have a bigger dick than Anthony Smith. Folks, who do you think's got a bigger dick, Dave Smith or Anthony Smith? Tweet it at us at YoMMARap. Tag them both.
Tag them both. Just get me in a fight with Anthony Smith. Go, I'm a big fan.
I bet he's got a big fat cock, too. He's like 6'5". He's a fucking monster,
almost
dude.
Almost certainly. Yeah. No, but anyway. So,
but I bet yours looks better on your dweeby body.
There you go. All right. That seemed aggressive. All right. Anyway. I like you better fat.
It turned into a bully immediately.
I don't know that I agree with you that the judging is better. I don't know that I agree with you. I think there are things, even in the co-main event of this fight, I like little things like this where I go, even just the fact that one judge gave that a 30-27, this one I did watch. Yeah. Even though that one judge gave
men
it,
fighting.
Yeah, it was two men.
And it was also like an incredible fight.
A good fight.
Really great
fight. But the fact that a judge gave it 30-27, like things like this just piss me off. Look, you can think Michael Pereira won that fight.
Pereira?
You can think he won that fight. Fine. It's a close fight, but you could think he won that fight.
Michelle.
He did not win the second round of that fight.
Yeah.
No judge should look at that and say he won that second round of the fight. And if you do, it should be like an immediate, like, no, dude, that objectively speaking, he didn't win that fucking round. Yeah. He was losing the round and got taken down at the end of the round. There's no gray area there. And that just, you see things like that a lot. And I'll tell you, it does annoy me when people say this shit, like, don't leave it in the hands of the judges. It's like, yeah, all right. It's not, you can't always knock a guy out in a 3-round fight. You have 15 fucking minutes. I mean, think about it in boxing.
Well, it's just a dumb,
how insane
it's
that
such
would
a
be.
Stupid saying, considering that, like, I don't know, half of the fights in MMA go to the judges. So
you can't always just knock people out. Like, it's not, it's just an option. Oh, you should have decided to knock that guy out instead of going to the judges. It's like,
you should play by the rules. You should win the fight, and the judges should be able to clearly
the judges should not the answer to like
at the very least the judges should be. It's, I look at it as management, right? So when you go to a restaurant and there's bad service, it's not the server, it's the fucking management. It's probably the same problem in the kitchen. There's probably a shitty chef in the kitchen. It's a problem, right? So you need if all the judges aren't on the same page, there's an issue with educating those judges. And whatever criteria where they become a judge.
We're not just
judge
educating,
MMA. But no, they're
educating, firing the bad ones, hiring more competent whatever the system is.
I don't know what the process is. So do they have to go in and take a course in order to get paid to be a judge?
Know.
Probably, right? You got to do that to sell real estate.
Yes, they have to do that.
Like,
but
my assumption is, so I feel like that test needs to be really clear cut and and judging criteria needs to be really clear cut. What I'm saying is, and when I say the judging is better, I don't. We're seeing more fights, right? And most of the judges are good. Most of the time, 99% of the time, we go, oh yeah, that judge was right. And then 1% of the time you go, that was fucking crazy. So I got a bug. Oh,
yeah. Damn, I just tried to do that as like, I tried to do it as like,
God damn it, dude.
I'm just literally doing this because the camera's on you. I just keep doing this. And you're in the middle of this rant and you're like, all right, Dave, get that booger, man. I'm going off here. Jesus, Dave.
I
think your point is spot on that whatever the process is, but the process usually needs to be, having a good training process, making sure you hire people who are competent, and making sure people who are incompetent get fired. Yeah. Like, that's always a big part of this shit. But when people go, it's like, look, man, imagine saying this to a boxer. It's like, you have 3 rounds, and you know what the answer is? You have to knock everybody out. It's like, okay, but that's if you have a high enough level of competition, then that doesn't happen. You can't always knock everyone out. And the answer, the answer isn't, don't leave it to the judges. The answer is that no judge should see the second round in that fight having gone to Piera. How, if I'm saying that name
Pajera.
Right.
Michael,
Pajera.
Michelle Pajera.
Michelle Pajera.
Michelle Pajera.
Okay. No one.
What's the other guy's name?
Santiago?
What?
Panzibio. Panzibio.
Panzinibio.
Panzinibio. But I'm saying the answer is that judges shouldn't get rounds egregiously wrong where anyone who knows what they're talking about knows what happened in that round. Like, there's, it's not like if I were to take like, if I took Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, Michael Bisping, John Anik, Dominic Cruz, like all the announcers, right? Say all the announcers for the UFC, throw in Dana White, throw in me and you and Bisping and all of them. It would be unanimous on who won that round.
Yes.
Not one person would argue what happened in that round. So why the fuck is there a judge sitting here telling me something else happened in that round? Now I'm saying, I understand there's going to be close rounds. MMA is like we've talked about before. There are some times where you'll probably never have a perfect criteria for who won that round. We know rounds where you could debate, but at least like the ones that are clear cut black and white, you should get those right 100% of the time.
No, I agree completely. And what I was saying before is I think it's gotten better because I think the criteria has become a little more clear. And I've just noticed that. I've noticed that the way that the announcers are talking about it, they seem to be a little bit more clear as to what's going on when it's a close round. I feel like for the most part, we're seeing a fight every week. We're seeing 12, 13 fights per week, high level, you know? And then honestly, then there's Bellator, then there's small leagues. These are also the same judges. These guys are judging a wild amount of MMA. It's happening a lot. So you see these decisions here and there, they pop up. And I think it's very easy to go like, wow, this is happening all the time. But I think in terms of volume, I think you're probably seeing less bad decisions today in terms of the amount of fights, the percentage of fights that are actually happening, just because of the amount of volume of fights that are happening. So maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm right. I don't know. It's at the very least up for debate. I just have noticed that I personally am a little bit more clear when I'm watching the fights now, just in terms of, all right, damage, you know, effective striking means damage. You know what I'm saying? And then if there's no damage for either one, it's who's landing more, you know? And then you sort of go down from there. And whatever. I do think 2 splits in the main and co-main, not always ideal, but they were 2 very entertaining fights.
Very entertaining, both of them.
Pajera now, I believe, 5 in a row. All right, real quick, Dave, let's take a moment and thank YoKratom.com for supporting today's show.
We love YoKratom.com, the best supporters of everything we do here at Gas Digital, and the best place to get Kratom, if that's your thing.
Over the age of 21 years old and you guys are in the market for Kratom, get it directly from YoKratom.com. They have wholesale prices. $60 for a kilo of Kratom is like 5 times less than any other place.
Yeah, it's the best deal. It's the best Kratom. It's the best supporters of this this show and this network and our Skankfest. So fucking go get some shit from YoKratom.
Go support them. They support us. All right, where were we? Can you pull up Pajera's? I thought this was just hilarious. I was watching his post-fight speech, and you can't understand a fucking word the guy says. Yeah. It's hilarious, dude. Good, let's see. It's him with DC.
Win of your fight career. Yeah, were you confident you had done enough to get the victory?
Thanks so much. My wife, Gina Mee, my Uzumaki, thanks so much, my team. Thank you, my family.
Who?
Ponzinibbio, thank you so much, my friend. You very hard. You very good.
His friend.
He's either very hot or hard.
Very strong, my friend. Very good boxing.
He sounds like when I get a rub and tug.
Thank you so much.
The compliments that the Asian old lady gives me.
Let's take a look at some of your work here.
You're very hard. You're very good.
High pace. on Ponzinibbio. You continue to move forward the entire time. Was this the fight that you expected? Is this what you trained for, knowing that you were fighting a guy that's ranked in the top 15?
Now I need entering in top 1-5, top 10. I need, hey, Nate, I'm ready. Hey, Jorge Masvidal, come, my friend. Oh, I talk que I enter in ranking.
What the fuck is
this? I need fight with you. Thanks so much, my boss, Sam Shelby.
Beautiful.
Thanks so much, my boys.
Poetry.
White. Thanks so much, my team.
Thank you.
I don't know what the
DC.
I don't know what the issue for you is. The guy loves his wife. He loves his friends, who are very hard, by the way.
The friends are all hard.
Boxing, yada, yada, yada. This guy, I don't know.
Masvidal.
He wants to fight Masvidal. He said something about Nate as
what,
well.
What
Wait,
happened?
Guys, we'll say, but just before that, though, this dude is, and we've known this for a while since he's been fighting in the UFC, but now after this little run he's on, was it five-fight win streak
now? Yeah,
five-fight win streak. Like, this dude is an issue. Like, he's a very unique guy. He's got this quality. First off, he's one of the guys, Lewis, which is very fucking weird sometimes, where they're just guys who just look like it makes no sense that they can make the weight.
Yeah, oh,
like there's
huge.
Guys who
Dude,
look
both these
big.
Guys are huge.
There's guys who look big for the weight class, and then there's guys who
I
you
didn't
just
realize
look
they
like
were 170 pounders until he started calling out 170 pounders. I thought they were 185
Dude,
while watching the fight.
But you're talking about he stands up to other guys who are big for the division and like dwarfs over them. He's humongous, and he's one of the fastest guys in the division. He's got that crazy capoeira like style. Now he gasses a lot, but part of that's because he's doing this crazy capoeira like shit. But he's very difficult fucking like guy to deal with, and it's going to be interesting to see what he does. Yeah. Now he's on a big win streak.
Vic, do me a favor. What happened here with Michelle Pajera's wife and Masvidal? Can you give me a little bit of a Vic breakdown?
So yeah, the stuff you heard right there. He basically was saying he wanted to fight Masvidal, and the reason he wants to fight Masvidal was because he said Masvidal DM'd his wife. Now, Masvidal says, no, that didn't happen. She reached out to me first. Marriage counseling, bro. You know, he started making fun of it, and you can read the tweet I gave it to you. But he disputed that, and then the wife came out and said, all of that stuff happened years ago, and management runs her account, so... He started making up this fight, and that's what Masvidal basically said in his tweet, that he's making all this stuff up. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to judge a man for what he did on the internet years ago. We all fucked up.
Wait, but what's the... That he's saying that the wife, like, fucking messaged him.
Yeah, and like, apparently she just reached out to him, he responded with a prayer emoji. That's all he responded with was the prayer emoji. And that's why he's saying this is all bullshit, because... Pereira is upset about the fact that
Pajera's all fucking insecure, and
exactly
he's kind of showing his ass on that. And even his wife's like, okay, please stop.
I like that Lewis just immediately like assumed what the story was and started justifying. He goes, I'm not gonna judge a dude for DMing some chick trying to get laid. I mean, whatever, dude. You're horny.
He didn't know he wasn't fucking famous yet.
That's not the story at all.
For Strike Force, trying to get some pussy. Take the shot, dog.
That's not the story at all.
Take the shot.
But you just immediately went, let's create a world where we don't judge guys out there for DMing a chick trying to get laid. Can we all just agree that that's not something that should be frowned upon or brought up publicly? Let people in a relationship
We're gonna judge people from DMs that they've sent throughout the years, not even the past month. I say 30-day expiration on canceling people for DMs. Anything from 30 days, and I can't even make it 30 days.
You'd still go down. Even if
it was
a
really weird situation. And the funny thing is that if you read the tweets on the rundown, it is the wife basically echoed Masvidal.
Yeah.
And saying that people make up stories out of anything trying to justify something. So.
Before I even knew Michelle. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Damn, dude. Michelle Pajera's wife is making him look like an asshole right now, dude. Dude, if I was him, I would fucking crack her with one of those body kicks that he landed on Ponzinibbio.
Yeah.
use that excellent footwork.
Yeah, dude. Holy shit, dude.
Well, I mean, he should probably hit her with the like flipping back thing. Yeah, dude. Didn't work probably, in MMA.
He could do
like,
crazy Eddie Gordo really, moves on
yeah,
her.
Yeah, he could do a lot of shit to her probably. Well, that's weird and awkward. Also, look, man, yeah, sometimes I feel like, and Lewis, you're big on talking about kind of breaking down the science to the post-fight interview and making the most of this kind of like scarce opportunity that you
yeah.
get.
Yeah.
And I got
to
say,
how many minutes in the world do you have in front of Joe Rogan to have a conversation? Dave?
You make well, for me, unlimited hours, basically. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, maybe 2-3 opportunities ever to be sitting in front of Joe Rogan where he's got a microphone and he wants to hear what you want to say. Make the most of it. Trust me.
I would say you're going to have, if my experience is anything, you're going to have probably an average of 6 hours a year.
No, dude.
6 hours a year to talk to Joe Rogan. Whatever you want to talk about.
Joe will be there for you one day, then he's not there for you the next. Who knows what happened in your career?
I've found him to
be... Life just smacks you right in the face.
Thoroughly consistent.
And there you are. Then you get on Tim Dillon's podcast. Maybe do that.
Yeah,
maybe
you do that.
Tim Dillon interview you once you win a fight. Who knows?
Maybe you go and you do a great job on Tim Dillon's podcast. He's the Joe Rogan of the future. Anyway, the point is... So no, but you make a very good point when you say that, right? You look at it from a marketing perspective. You're like, look, you are going to have... Even the best of the best have very few opportunities kind of like this. So if you're not the best of the best, you got to take that opportunity.
What is it, an average of now, a minute? Is it an average of a minute or a minute and a half?
Yeah. I mean, probably a minute. I don't know. Yeah. Now, you point out a lot that people sometimes fuck this up by just having nothing to say, generic things to say, whoever's next, blah, 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 nothing. And it's a very good point. But I got to say, another way that people fuck this up is it's like what he just did here. Who are you calling out? Well, I'm going to call out the two biggest money makers, most famous guys ever. It's almost like when everyone starts calling out Conor, it's like, listen, have some sense here. You're not fighting Nate or Masvidal anytime soon. Anytime soon. It makes no sense whatsoever. Like so the point is like, you got to kind of be smart in those moments and call out the biggest fight that you can actually get and have a reason for why I should think, oh, you know what I mean? Like, oh shit, that fight really makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, all right, that really fucking makes sense. Like, look, the way Chandler did it in his last fight was fucking perfect. He caught with a ton of energy. He gave you 3 fights that all fucking make sense that could happen next, right? Like right there. Okay, I'm interested to see any one of those fights. The idea of just saying, hey, I want to go fight Masvidal or Nate Diaz, like none of those fights are going to happen, dude. These guys, why would those guys fight you when they can go have huge money-making opportunities with guys who are just more relevant, higher ranked? All of this shit.
Well,
Nate is talking about either fighting Chandler or fighting Hamzat or fighting Conor McGregor. You know, Masvidal can fight Conor.
You know, shoot for the moon, you reach the stars.
I think it's a waste.
Is that what the saying is? No, shoot for the stars, you land on the moon. It must be.
Shoot for the moon, if you miss, you land among the stars.
But you don't.
Yeah, no. Scientifically, it doesn't really make sense. You're not
any star.
You're like, I missed the moon, and there's no stars anywhere. Oh my God.
I'm in a fucking cloud. It's freezing.
Why buy the cow if you get the milk for free? Are we in the right direction?
Something like that, dude. You lead a horse to water. Is that what we're saying? I don't know what I'm saying.
Teach a man a fish.
The point of that I'm making is that, you know, I'm not going to fault the guy for.
I think this is a different type of missed shooting. Opportunity.
Misses. No, because look, he had a killer performance.
He won a split decision.
He's not a great performance.
Yes, he did. But to call out fucking the two biggest stars in the division really just doesn't make sense to me at this point. I'm just saying, it's to your point, it's a waste of that opportunity. It's like you should be calling out someone who's like something that you can get, something that's achievable.
I don't know if I kind of disagree with you on this point, only because I don't think that Masvidal or Nate are that unachievable.
You think he's fighting them
next? But if you start planting those seeds, right? If he has one or two other killer performances.
Nate has one fight on his contract.
It's probably not going to be
Masvidal,
Nate.
Masvidal.
Nate's a diva. But Masvidal
is coming up toward the end of his career. He's fucking going to have big fights.
You see this happen very often. You see guys that are sort of like going out and there's a guy who's coming up. This guy's 5 in a row now. No, yes, he's not getting those guys next. But if he gets another couple big wins.
It's possible.
He's planted the seed. Now you have the.
I don't see the value.
Now you have
the seed.
You don't see the value.
No, I think the value is just as strong as if he wins two more in a row against big name guys and then calls out Masvidal. I don't think it's any more likely to happen because he's been calling him out for three fights in a row. I think if you want those next two fights, you should be using that time to get what's the best next fight for you.
Yeah, who's the next best fight? Can you show me the 170 pound rankings? Next best fight for Pajeda, top 15 ideally, because I think this puts him into the top 15, not even the top 10.
Well, that guy he beat is in the top 15, I believe, right?
Bonzanibio, yeah.
So that's yeah, probably.
Yeah, next step up. Let's see the rankings. Top 15 UFC welterweight rankings. We have three producers working on this show.
There we go.
Here we go.
There are the welterweight
there
rankings.
There we go. Okay, so I mean.
All right.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys. There's a lot of room. There's a lot of room, and there's a lot of guys that would be fun fights, too.
Yep. A lot of guys who are going to fight Masvidal or Nate Diaz before this guy.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're 100% right. But look, Masvidal's only ranked number 8. He's just a star.
No, like, he just happens to be, you know, I'm
Chiesa,
just saying.
Chiesa's a great one. I think he's got a couple losses, and that's a rankings-wise would really, really make sense. You don't really want to call a guy coming off a loss, though. You know, when you really look at Stephen Thompson, I guess, is a great.
Also coming off a loss.
Bilal Muhammad coming off a win now. He lost less before that. That's a win. That's a fight that they would maybe make.
Yeah, that should be the call out. Bilal Muhammad, who's kind of floating around and doesn't have a fight now, has a lot of hype behind him, and
is
not a bad matchup.
No,
that's
a
not
fight.
A bad matchup. That's
and he's
the
ranked number 5, dude. Yep. That's the fight. If you're gonna, that's who you climb. You're right. You're right about that. I will say it's a missed opportunity in that he's not going to get that fight. I think it's kind of a wash. I don't think it's truly a missed opportunity. When you have an exciting performance, you get a win. It is a split, but it was an exciting performance. It was a really, really fun fight. I don't think it won fight of the night, but I think the announcers at the time were like, oh, this could be. Yeah, and he's 5 in a row. He's in a position where, yeah, dude, he's going to start making waves. More. We probably wouldn't be discussing his call out had he called out Bilal Muhammad. We'd be like, yeah, good call out. So the fact that we're spending 10 minutes of a show discussing the relevancy of his call out, maybe he did make the right move.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't know. If you go off on a whole thing about if a guy just says, which you've done before, just goes, give me the next guy, give me this or that, and you go, you know, on a thing like kind of criticizing him for that, I don't know if it's fair to say, well, you wouldn't be talking about this if he didn't. I'm just saying, look, it's not like the worst post-fight interview ever. The English was
no,
the worst.
No, it was the worst.
The English was the worst.
Ever. It was crazy.
But I just think, it'd be smart for fighters. Like, you're the one who really kind of sold me on this, but I think it is very smart for fighters to really value that time. I think you should come in with a game plan of what you're going to do on the mic after those fucking fights. It's a big opportunity.
Let's take a moment. Let's do a couple plugs real quick.
Sure.
You mind? First of all, subscribe to Gas Digital. Use that promo code YOMMA. Get a 7-day free trial. You get the on-demand library for all of the shows here on the network. Legion of Skanks, Realize Podcast, Part of the Problem. I mean, we're going to thousands of hours of content that are not available anywhere else on the internet. You can watch us develop our entire podcasting personas and personalities from the beginning. We were very young in comedy when
Lewis
we started podcasting.
Lewis was a timid Asian woman
when we first started. I was a tiny lesbian, and I've grown into this big beast of a man. Use that promo code, get a free trial, support us. Come see me live this weekend. Me and Big J are actually going to be doing shows. We were just going to go on a little mini vacation.
And then you realized how not fun hanging with Jay is.
Well, no,
we better be doing shows.
We like doing shows. And I was like, let me call the club down there. And the guys knew us. They were like, yeah, we would love to have you guys. So we're doing two shows at Key West or Comedy Key West, comedykeywest.com. Grab those tickets. Doing a lot of other shows. I'll be in Texas at Fort Worth and Dallas in the beginning of June. I will be in Ontario, California, San Diego, California, Jeffersonville, Pennsylvania, Albany, New York. All these things coming up just in November. And then me and Aaron Berger are kicking off the Offend Everyone tour in Austin, Texas.
Say November?
June.
Oh.
Sorry, maybe it's in November.
June,
all of June.
I just assumed that wasn't, you weren't plugging
not
in
November.
November.
It was all June, that's what I meant. All of June, that's happening, all those dates. And then me and Aaron Berg, July 4th weekend, kicking off the Offend Everyone tour down in Austin, Texas. And then we are going everywhere. The dates keep on coming in. I'm so excited to promote this tour. It's the biggest tour we've ever done. Biggest tour I've personally ever done. It's going to be 25 cities at least. So look out for that. Lewisofskanks.com is the website if you guys want to grab tickets for all of those shows and more.
Fuck yeah, dude. Well, I got my the shows in Reno. I got in May. They've sold out. So thanks to everybody who bought tickets for that. If you didn't, you're dead to me. Also, Chicago next month is sold out, but those should be fun shows. Got Robbie the Fire Bernstein coming with me. So again, thanks to everyone who bought tickets. The podcast, the annual State of the Union with Ari Shaffir on Skeptic Tank is up. I've been getting a great response from that, as I always do. So go check that out. It's up everywhere. And that's all.
All right, so we got a little time left here. Anderson Silva boxed this past weekend. Did you guys watch it?
I saw some highlights.
Didn't even see some highlights. Can I see some highlights?
Let's play some highlights.
I want to see some highlights. Anderson Silva. Yeah, dude, Anderson is a really great combat athlete.
He's a fucking, he's a goddamn legend. It's pretty, it's really pretty unbelievable that he's doing this in a combat sport that's not his sport at the age that he is now. Really, just unbelievable.
How old is Anderson now? Like 43?
Think older.
Yeah, dude, he's a fucking old man, dude.
I think he might be 46.
Pretty incredible. Pretty
he's
incredible.
47.
No way.
47.
47? Are you kidding me?
That is
That's wild.
I think I saw that. Something.
And who's this guy? Bruno Machado.
Yeah, he's 47, and Bruno Machado. I'll tell you right now.
Why does Anderson's gloves look smaller than that guy's?
Sorry, the audio is irrelevant.
It's all right. Yeah, so
you see here, get there's a knockdown really in one of these rounds.
Yeah, I mean, look, speaking to a couple guys that have trained in MMA and trained in boxing, I mean, damn. Ooh, Anderson's a beast. Anderson's
I mean, it's beast. Pretty goddamn incredible.
Who is this guy? Is this guy? I know nothing about boxing. Who is this guy? Is this guy like a relevant boxer?
He's a legit boxer. I don't think he's that relevant, but he has like a legitimate record. I'm trying to look it up right now.
Anderson, just how heavy is Anderson here? He looks big.
Yeah, he's big.
Thick.
He's got to be well north of 200 pounds here.
Yeah, definitely for sure.
220 maybe?
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing. Like Jake Paul, I know that's the fight. If Jake Paul wants to gain respect from me, he fights Anderson Silva. He beats Anderson Silva. I respect Jake Paul as a combat athlete.
Yes, no question.
Look, I respect Jake Paul right now as the fiasco that is Jake Paul, yes. And I respect him for what he's done to other respectable combat athletes.
Yeah, I agree
if that
with
makes
that.
Sense. I'm still not 100% sold because I do feel like he's.
Here's the thing: is Jake Paul has not. He was at 193. Man, he looked a lot bigger than that in the fight. He must have been at least 20 pounds bigger than that in the fight.
By the way, Machado is he's an MMA fighter with a 15-9 pro record. So,
okay. But a guy who's done a lot of boxing. The thing about Anderson Silva is that it's unlike almost everybody. A lot of these other guys we've seen, whether it's Tito Ortiz or Frank Mir or, you know, obviously the guys who have fought Jake Paul, Ben Askren, Tyron Woodley, they put on boxing gloves and they fight under boxing rules.
Yeah.
But Anderson Silva is actually boxing.
Yeah.
Like he's boxing like a professional boxer does. And Jake Paul hasn't fought anyone yet who's a good boxer, who actually boxes, you know? Yeah. And now Anderson Silva is older. You know, he's 47.
47 MMA guy.
He's big and he's fucking really skilled.
Anderson's not going to win any world titles at 47 years old in boxing, right? If Jake Paul beats Anderson Silva, then I respect him as a combat athlete. It's not really even a commentary on whether or not he can be really great at boxing. I'm just saying Anderson's a legit, like I watch the way Anderson moves. It would be impressive for Jake Paul if
Anderson
he beat
might
him.
Fuck him up, dude.
I think Anderson will kill him, dude.
Anderson is just a fucking freak.
191.4, 193.5. Yeah, they're the same fucking size, dude. These guys are the same size. He's got youth on his side. This is why Jake Paul, he can silence fucking everybody. Look, he could also just keep on making millions. He keep on calling out guys.
Well, Dana White, you know, called him out about the Anderson Silva one where he was saying, he was like, you know, he calls out all these guys. He's not saying shit about Anderson. He's like, he's not going to fight that fight. So he would kind of call Dana White on that. By being like, yeah, okay, I will fight this guy.
Yeah.
But the problem is, if you're, you know, Jake Paul or Jake Paul's team, you're probably saying, slow your roll on that one a little bit, because this guy might just knock you the fuck out.
Can I tell you, there's also something to the fact that, like, Jake Paul, and this is, it reminds, like, this on a, obviously, nowhere near the level, but I'm going to fight Jason Ellis. He actually sent me a date today. Can't announce it yet, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to fight Jason Ellis. And the date is pretty far away. And I'm just like, cool. I have time to exponentially improve mm-hmm. in that time. He has time to get older. That's just the reality, in my opinion. So Jake Paul, as it relates, he's just going to improve. Jake Paul is young. He's 20-something years old. He has a ton of money. Very athletic. He is pretty good, dude. He's going out there and really doing it. Anderson Silva, he is just deteriorating. He's not becoming That's a true. Better combat athlete. He's unquestionably deteriorating with age. So there's a time unquestionably where Jake Paul just sure. can beat Anderson Silva.
And maybe 15 years from now,
maybe
no
it's
question.
10 years from yeah, now. Yeah. Maybe it's a year. Maybe it's 2 years from now. Who yeah, fucking yeah, yeah. knows? I'm just saying it's very interesting. Right now is the time where if Jake Paul stepped up and fought Anderson Silva, I have a ton of respect for him. And it actually brings us to our
Well, can
our,
I just say this to your point, right? Quickly, and we'll get to the final thing. If you were to go out and beat Ellis, we'll all be like, dude, that's an incredible thing that you went out and beat him. Like, that's fucking, you'll get a lot of like fucking like credit, like, wow, that, what an accomplishment, dude. A guy who's like an amateur MMA fighter and you trained to and you fucking beat him, you'd get a lot more credit for that than you would for beating Ryan O'Neal.
No, of course,
as your friend. If they said, you can rematch Ryan O'Neal again and get $50 million, I'd go, Lewis.
Oh, dude.
Take that rematch.
I saw Ryan O'Neal at the Comedy Store.
Just fight him again. Oh, my God. And get $50 million. And then they go, or you can fight Ellis and get $50 million. Like, there's no difference in the payday yeah, yeah. between that and what he could do with some of these other guys. So you just go, like, as your friend, I'd be like, dude, yeah, like, I'd respect you more if you beat him. But, like, you know, maybe just go get that fucking money, dude.
Now, it's much closer to $30,000, all said and done, all fucking soaking wet.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Plane tickets not included.
I'll do it. I'll do it for less.
Flight and hotel.
No. Yeah, look, you're right about that. Vic, I wanted to, this is because we are talking a lot about this Jake Paul thing, and he did tweet about it, but this does bring us to our last segment today, which is Vic's Triangle of Truth.
That's right.
What's happening?
Look at the triangles. Oh my God, I realized that all cages are made of triangles.
I just realized that all of life is made of triangles.
Oh, everything is a triangle.
Oh my God.
Things, if you look, if you start real. Looking for the triangles around you, you'll find them.
Yes, they're everywhere, but only a true man has the triangle in his heart, like a Brandon Royval or us here. We'll do it whenever it comes up. It's a shape we're not afraid of because we've lived our lives in it. Okay? We will podcast in it and everything. Okay. I'm getting intense about this, but I want to bring up with the Jake Paul thing. So the first thing we're going to bring up is this is an actual tweet that Jake Paul put up. Of course, Silva fought, but also Floyd Mayweather had a fight.
Oh, did he?
So, Natalie, if you could put that up. This is an actual – I want to get your guys' reaction to this tweet from Jake Paul, which is taking just a moment here.
Let's see.
This one?
Yes, that's the one. I would beat Floyd and Anderson in the same night. That's what Jake Paul said. Smiley is he guy. Getting too full of himself? Oh, yeah.
What do you think, Dave? Too full of himself? Is this actually, do you think that he could beat Floyd and Anderson in the same night? Do you think he could beat either one of them?
I think he would lose both of those fights.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my honest opinion. Now, I don't know. This kid believes in himself so much, and he's talked all this shit, and he's done things I didn't think he could do. But, no. I mean, Floyd Mayweather fucked around with his brother and was never in any fucking danger or anything like that.
No, I think Jake's a better boxer than Logan.
I do, but if Floyd Mayweather wanted to take this seriously and fight like a real fucking sanctioned fight with him, I think he takes him apart. And I think Anderson Silva probably knocks him out. That's like my guess, but I fucking, who knows? Like what you said before about him and Anderson, there's some truth to that. Mm. And age, especially when you're talking about 47 years old, you really don't know that the next training camp, it just doesn't fucking come together and he's not there anymore. I don't know. But yes, the idea that he would beat both of these guys on the same night is a bit of a
craziness. It's not happening.
And Floyd Mayweather, by the way, one of the best boxers of all time, no matter what you think about him, he is undefeated. Yeah. Undefeated in life, undefeated in the ring, and one of the rare few people that could fight a triangle. I'll tell you that.
All right, let's. What is the next Vic's triangle?
The next
of truth?
One is.
There'll only be three topics in the triangle of truth.
That's right, just three topics. The second one is a picture.
Three sides, three points, three angles, three topics.
And this picture that we have is Carla Esparza. She was at her wedding this weekend. And this is what she wore to her wedding. Let's see if we can get this up there, guys. I got
it. Let's see. And Carla Esparza at her wedding. What's the problem? Oh, she wore her belt to the wedding. Is that
what this is about? Yeah, she wore her belt to the wedding, guys. Now, would you guys wear a belt to your wedding if you were getting married, Lewis? Would you wear a belt if you
wanted? My Alice Mania belt or just a belt with my... I think I need a belt, at least suspenders.
A championship belt, a belt with significant... Would you wear your blue belt to your wedding?
Championship suspenders. How about that? Nobody's thought about that. Championship cufflinks.
Yeah. Dana White...
Dana White, get on it. Give me some octagon shaped cufflinks. Cufflinks. I like cufflinks.
Dave,
she's a UFC champion. The amount of people in the world that get to have a UFC title, very few. I understand it. Tim Sylvia used to wear his belt to bed. Remember that was like a famous story?
Well, look, she went there. She has her championship belt. She doesn't have a scratch on her face, and neither does the chick she beat for that title. So there you go. I don't care. Wear your belt, I guess.
Wear your belt. Good for her. She's proud of it. I like it. She got a lot of pride, dude. This is the biggest thing ever, dude. Literally, 20 years ago, there was no career being a fucking cage fighter. It was like you did it because you wanted to be a lunatic.
It is really funny that Tim Sylvia would just wear the belt everywhere. Like, he'd show up in jeans and a t-shirt and the belt, and everyone just started hating him for it. Like,
Harrington, they were like, Harrington all right, does that dude. Now. Harrington wears his fucking Skankfest belt that he beat Dylan for everywhere. I think I owe Harrington money still for Skankfest, his win.
You haven't paid him yet?
No.
We're almost at another Skankfest.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. All right, last one.
We're working out the kinks in this segment, but we have a video here from Khabib. If this is going to work, it's the first time, guys.
Triangle of Truth.
Give it
Triangle
time.
Of Truth. We have a video from Khabib. He was talking to TMZ Sports, and he's talking about Cain Velasquez and the entire situation. Some really, I think, some profound comments from him. So if we could roll that.
Okay. Is it the Instagram?
No, that's the Kazmat wedding video that Lewis has for.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to get the hums out. Well, I wanted to do a whole bit where we were guessing what hums I would have at his wedding. You know, like fucking... You know, his wife being beaten by his brothers, or, you know, fucking goat sacrifice where they're eating the eyeballs out of it. I have no idea what happens in Dagestan or wherever the fuck he's from.
About Cain, yesterday I was talking with Coach Hav. I tell him it's any chance or if it's possible to go and see him in jail, you know?
Yeah.
Because in Russia we can go and see anybody, you know?
Right.
I asked him because I don't know the law here in US. I asked him, I really want to go to see him. After a couple of days, I'm going to be in San Jose. I want to go to see him, shake his hand, give him good energy. You know, anybody good in the world who respect himself, who love his family, is going to do same thing. Exactly. Like, come on. Nobody going to think about law or something when you have something about your family.
Yeah.
You have to protect your family, you know.
Could not agree
more.
This is a long, segment. All right, Vic. All right, we got it. Vic, what does he say? You watched it. Can you summarize?
This went a lot better.
Hold on. Let me figure out what the word is. What is the word?
Summarize. He said that he basically said that there's no way that guy should be out and that he's the real danger to society, not Cain.
And seems to be a strong argument there.
And Cain is still being denied bail, and it's going to be another month before they even bring it up again. So it is an unfair world. But at least Khabib is visiting him in prison and trying to be a cool teammate, and I respect that. That's the truth.
Can people go visit him in prison? Was he allowed to, or what did they say?
He was just trying to. I believe people can go visit him in prison, but they're stuck to visiting hours. From what he made it sound like, he can go to Russia prison anytime he wants to.
Can we go to a Russia prison, or can we go visit Cain? You guys vote. Guys, tweet at us. What would you rather see us visit, a prison in Dagestan or visit Cain Velasquez? Because we'll do it.
All right. I guess we're going to go see Cain because I'm not going to Dagestan.
Well, what are you going to do? Guys, shout out to your Kratom, yourkratom.com, home of the $16 kilo. They make it possible for us to do the show every single week. So if you're over the age of 21 years old and you're in the market for Kratom, please go to yourkratom.com. And that's that. We'll be back next Monday with another weekly wrap-up show for this past week in MMA. And until then, good night. Yo! Oh my God! Yo! Oh!